Finally, a source of raw, real, and honest information on healthcare issues that matter most. Welcome to BS Free MD. From the latest medical information to how to stay sane as a doctor or a patient, no subject is taboo, no BS is allowed. Now, let's welcome your hosts, Drs. May and Tim Hindmarsh.
All right, this week I'm going to get super intense and crazy and
I'm here
up.
To be the break. Tim's the gas, I'm the break. It's the way our marriage works. So if you're joining us for the first time, I'm sorry. if you're a repeat customer listener, welcome back. You're going to get a special little bantering session today, I think, because we don't always necessarily agree. And I'm here to bounce some thoughts, challenge Tim with what he says.
I am going to be a runaway soapbox derby car, and May's going to be the buzzkill ramp at the end that slows everything down.
There you go. So
buzzkill.
So we won't be the RWNJs quite as...
Someone right-wing nut jobs?
RWNJ. I had to look that up, what that stood for.
Yeah. Well, we don't know because we're not
old.
Communists.
Anyways.
We would know if we were communists.
Well, before we dive in, honestly, I'm super excited. It's not a DocTales with cocktails, but officially it is because we are sipping on some fine Keurig coffee in our awesome, these kick-ass to the Yeti cups. We just got some wonderful... cups from Travis Letmore, who's a Country Financial. He has been working in the Corvallis, which is in Bendon County area. But if you are local, he's also opened up a new office in town. So
which town? We talked to people in Australia and Canada.
I'm trying not to give it away where we're at. We're in a secret location.
Okay.
Well,
if you know where we live. You know, go in there,
buy some insurance and stuff from Travis. In sweet little Sugar
City. He gave
us
these really cool
sexed
up
the cups rule. And I'm loving it. It's insulated. It's got a cool top that seals, which is ingenious. I think a woman invented these, and they're really nice.
A woman invented these cups? So they're super practical for drinking coffee, and they can't parallel park or drive a 4-speed.
Yeah, are we gonna? I'm gonna win that argument because you know I can parallel park better than you, both sides of the road. Anyway, these are awesome. But thanks, Travis, for just supporting us.
He's a sexist right wing nut job.
So
that's right. I'm a sexy right wing nut
job. So if you want to shout out on our show, throw some. You know what we like? All the good things.
We like liquor and coffee.
Yeah, and I like chocolate too. So, got a chocolate shop. All right, Tim.
So,
what's the topic this week?
Topic is the pandemic is over. Deal with it.
Ah, is it really over?
It's over.
All right, present me your argument.
Okay, here's the argument. It is a 3-pronged argument. Number one.
Like the spike protein.
It is a 3-pronged. How many spikes
is,
on one COVID?
It is a tetra.
It's a gazillion little spikes.
It's got the 3 prongs on the top, though.
Satan's Velcro. That's coronavirus. So here we go. Number one. Omicron is less dangerous. Okay. I'm going to go through the points, and then we're going to go back, and I'm going to give you evidence for every point rather than do what the Mayo Clinic does and says, the vaccines are safe and effective. Believe us because they are. And we're going to refute the arguments and they don't give you any data.
And listen to the science.
Yeah,
who's a talking head on TV.
I am the science.
Okay. So yes, the person that is the science. Yeah, I don't hear any studies or data. It's just this is the way it is. And funny how, you know, I will quote Dr. McCullough when he said that all the big universities and research bodies in the U.S. that come up with protocols and so forth have, there's nothing. There's no university protocols for how to deal with COVID as an outpatient presented at all. There's no, this is the standard by which we would recommend. There's nothing out there for anybody. And so
yes,
there's a lot of studies.
It's true.
They're analyzing data.
That's true. But the NIH actually has come out recently.
Oh, correct me.
The NIH has come out recently. I have looked it up several times, and they have a guideline
okay.
for outpatient COVID treatment and inpatient COVID treatment to a certain – both. Not even to a certain degree. They have both.
Okay. But that's the NIH, and they're not
right. At least there's a scientific body that's saying, yes, we should treat COVID as outpatients now. I mean –
Right, but they're not actually a body that's actually treating patients that would come up with a guideline.
No, they are not Harvard Medical School. They're not
anyone that's actually, yes.
They're not Johns Hopkins, you know, none of that. Okay, so there's really 3 points, and I'm going to make an unbelievably convincing argument, and you're going to worship me after because it's going to be so unbelievably erudite.
See my eye roll.
Is number one, Omicron is less dangerous. Number two, Omicron spreads faster. And number three, mitigation strategies don't work. Okay? So Omicron's less dangerous. Because Omicron's less dangerous, we don't need to worry about doing a bunch of COVID-y things that we've done with lockdowns, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Because it spreads faster, it makes it damn near impossible to mitigate it. And none of the mitigation strategies we've used for Alpha and, Delta, et cetera, have made really any difference at all. And I'm going to make arguments for that. Ergo, why would you keep doing all the stupid stuff for a virus that's way less dangerous and spreads way, way faster?
Okay. And I will play the other side while you go for it.
You're going to play the other side. You're going to go both ways because I'm going to convince you to my side. So, number one.
I'm smiling over here.
2 months ago, South Africa came out once the whole Omicron thing started to blow up. And, you know, this new variant comes out of Africa. And they said, look, it's basically a cold. The South African scientists were said, like, do not freak out about this. Okay. So in doing some actual sciencey science, Kaiser Permanente in Southern California looked at 52,000 cases of COVID. And this was January 11th, so it's totally hot off the press.
Okay.
They actually controlled for vaccination status and everything. It was really well done, okay? And they looked at it, and here is the conclusion. During a period with mixed Delta and Omicron variant circulation, SARS-CoV-2 infections with presumed Omicron variant infection were associated with, number one, substantially reduced risk of severe clinical endpoints and shorter durations of hospital stay. What does that mean? Out of those 52,000 cases, they had like 28 or some thousand were Omicron, 16,000 or so were Delta. Not a single patient in the Omicron side required mechanical ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a major difference in severity of illness. And they're at their average length of hospital stay was 48 hours.
And did they say how many actual numbers were hospitalized in that? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was close to the same. It was close to the same, like 280 each. So the hospitalizations for each variant were still really low compared to the number of people. But the severity of illness, which is really the issue, right? Like you don't want to go to the hospital. But if you go to the hospital and you're admitted under observation and you're there overnight, I mean, it's technically counted as a hospitalization,
correct.
But it's kind of a BS hospitalization.
I know people think of hospitalizations and they think, correct, they think you're super, super sick, you're ICU, you know. But yeah, if you're kept in overnight for observation, you're in the ER, they kind of admit you to the floor to watch you, send you home, that counts
right.
as well.
So here's another thing that's really interesting, and this is from the body of the study. And it says reductions in disease severity associated with Omicron variant infections were evident amongst both vaccinated and unvaccinated patients, and among those with or without documented prior SARS-CoV infection. So whether you were vaccinated or not, the infection was still not very severe.
And whether or not you had prior infection before
exactly.
or not.
But, okay, here's the caveat. But prior vaccination against COVID-19 was associated with a dose-dependent lower risk of detection of Delta. So the vaccine worked pretty damn good against Delta.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to the Omicron variant, okay? And we're going to get into that. Like, does the vaccine do anything against Omicron? Likewise, Delta variant infections were less commonly detected among cases with documented prior SARS-CoV-2 infection. Well, no shit, Sherlock. So people that had COVID before didn't get Delta.
Delta or Omicron?
Delta. That was Delta because the dose-dependent lower risk of infection of the Delta variant as compared to the Omicron variant. So in other words, if you were vaccinated or you had COVID before, it seemed to protect you fairly robustly against Delta.
Okay.
And it didn't and that was as compared to Omicron. So the vaccine or having a prior infection didn't seem to work as well against Omicron.
Right. Okay? And that's been pretty much what it's been hitting the mainstream media news, correct? Is what they're saying is that the Omicron seems to be less severe, that the vaccines don't seem to be effective against the Omicron.
Correct. So here's where it gets really weird, and you gotta listen to Fauci very carefully.
Yes, and for what they're saying. So we'll stop there because then one side says then henceforth you should get the booster to protect, and the other side is saying don't do anything more because that's the old vaccine that's not going to be effective. So I'll let you carry it from here.
But we're gonna also get into why not only the vaccine may not only be not helpful, it may be dangerous.
Okay. So Omicron seems to be less
severe. But it's not just that it's less severe. It's like 91% like
reduction
percent.
In
like
severity
it's way,
of hospital
way, way
patients
less
with
severe.
With no was there absolutely none ventilated?
Zero.
Okay.
Zero out of 52,000. And when you listen to some people explain this data, that in the, you know, this is a sampling of people that they looked at, but it probably, so it's a portion of the people that were actually infected at that time, right? I mean, it's people that Kaiser could track. So you can easily extrapolate that it was, you know, four or five times as many people actually infected at that time.
Right.
So that 50,000 that you captured through your, you know, urgent care clinics and primary care clinics and whatever, and hospitals and ERs. I mean, Kaiser's a beautiful place to study this because they have everything, right? They have primary care, they have urgent care, they have ERs, they have hospitals. They have the entire healthcare system in their health, and they can run all their own coding and whatnot. So it's and plus it's Southern California, so its population density is insane. So, you know, I heard one guy explain that, and he goes, you know, realistically, that 52,000 that they captured in that actual catchment area was probably more like 250,000, which makes it even less dangerous when you extrapolate those kind of numbers. But again, the actual numbers, they studied just over 52,000 people.
And then in that study,
zero ventilation.
They didn't separate out the comorbidity. Like it was the people with comorbidities.
Yes, they looked at absolutely. They looked at I did not read the entire body of the study, but they looked. They tried to parse out everything.
Okay. And this is definitely from, you know, what that one I didn't look at, but it's really consistent with what's coming through. Like the UK, they have really good data that comes through there that we see as far as separating everything out, raw numbers, et cetera. So this sounds really on par with what's coming through there too.
Right. But the thing that's happening, see, because one of the counter arguments I've heard is, well, it doesn't matter if Omicron's less dangerous. If it's dangerous at all, it's so contagious that if you over, and if it burns through the vaccine and it burns through prior infection and you get like 100 million people infected at the same time, it's still going to overwhelm your healthcare system, et cetera,
exactly.
Right? I mean, and so there is that. But I think that that's a total stretch. And the reason I think that that's a total stretch is there's still people that have some that still are going to have a lot of protection from being infected before with the other strains, okay? And there is some suggestion in this study that if you were vaccinated, your symptoms were less severe. But again, does it matter? Like if you have a cold for 4 days or you have a cold for 6 days, if you don't go to the hospital and you don't have, you know, a bad outcome from that, who cares, right? Because I think
what when you look in terms of, then I mean, so we're talking about different things because we're talking about outpatient population and hospitalized population too. And we still hear that the hospital systems are being overwhelmed.
Yes, but there's so much bullshit. There's so much bullshit in that, like tons and tons and tons, because the hospital systems are now being overwhelmed because they don't have staffing.
Well, okay, so that's a very important thing to put out there, because that I think that's not what, I mean, people are starting to notice and figure that out, because they're hearing about people being fired, laid off because they're refusing to become vaccinated, or they're being burnt out and they're just done because of the pandemic timeline and the burden placed on them, the nursing staff, the hours, etc. So there's that shortage. And what we heard from someone we work with who happens to be in the know in the hospital scene, who locally was taking someone to the hospital, transferring them to another state hospital because they just needed their gallbladder out and there was no room at the inn.
Right, but
was it because of COVID patients?
No. No, it's not. Like, I have pounded them.
Just don't have beds, not because of COVID patients, but because it's just reduction in total number of beds and staff to work them, right?
Right. Well, it's like the infrastructure is there. There's no staffing.
This is not every single location, obviously. There are still waves where there's still a lot of COVID patients hospitalized. Absolutely. But the question is, what is the cause for the lack of beds? I mean, is it all COVID? That's what they're not saying. Is it because they reduced staff?
Right. But it's there's some really, really, to use JRE's word, there's fuckery that goes on with these numbers. And what they do is this. You'll see this. I see this now. I would have never caught this before COVID. I see it like a giant red light blinking now. You read something from the American, the American Academy of Family Practice, or you read something from one of the throwaway journals that's sponsored by, you know, Big Pharma. And it says, pediatric COVID cases skyrocket, which is absolutely true, especially with Omicron. They're going to get piles of it. Okay. And then they go, pediatric hospitals are, you know, two thirds full or whatever, right? So they're saying two things, okay? They're saying there's tons of pediatric COVID patients and there's tons of kids in the hospital. But what they don't, oh my gosh, you just see the headline. Mm-hmm. You go, oh my gosh, there are all these kids with COVID dying of COVID. No, that's not what's happening. What's happening is, are there some kids in the hospital with COVID? Yes. And most of them have very serious diseases and go in and out of the hospital anyways because they got leukemia. But then there's all this other stuff that they don't want to tell you, which is there's giant amounts of RSV out there. We shut down the schools. We stopped viral socialization where kids just normally get colds and whatnot. And then we opened the schools back up to a certain degree. And then you're going to get an explosion of regular viruses, yes, which make kids sick and put asthmatic kids in the hospital. So you can make an argument that pediatric hospitals filling up has more to do with how you responded to COVID than COVID itself. But the argument is, go get your kid. Like, it's always the same answer. Go get your kid vaccinated. Hospitals are full. Well, yeah, but what are they full of? Like burn victims? Like, yeah. What are they? Like,
and then the other thing I would say, you know, is at this time of year, in my recollection, right, of practice over the past 28 to 30 years, the hospitals have always been, not always, but pretty much even small town, full in January to February, this time of year when flu season hits really bad. Imagine
well,
that.
Of course.
They've been always transferring people.
But the other thing that they don't tell you is hospitals want to be, you know, hospitals reaching capacity. Okay. If you go to a hospital meeting 5 years ago, that's a hospital administrator's like happy place. They want to run close to capacity. They don't make money by not seeing patients.
Exactly.
You know, they don't want patients in there for longer than the insurances are willing to pay, but they want them in there for the exact amount of time to pull out as many DRGs as they can to maximize the billing. And then the second that clock ticks, get them the hell out, right? So you want to do tons of procedures, where people don't have to sleep overnight in the hospital, where you can do your, you know, your total hips and your bypasses and have them in for a couple days and then get them out. That's how the U.S. hospital system makes money right now. So this idea of running close to capacity,
The only argument I would have is that, you know, people aren't going in for elective procedures now because it's at capacity with COVID, RSV type illnesses.
Or it's at capacity because they have no staffing.
That too. So we don't know. Maybe.
No, I mean, no, a lot of this. I don't work in a hospital. So, you know, clearly we're going to make some errors on this, but we talk to people, obviously, that work in hospitals. And I've asked them specifically, is this COVID? Is this COVID? Is this COVID? It's like, there's no nursing staff. Mm-hmm. You know, and then what ends up happening.
And we talk to our friends that work in hospitals that are nurses, and it's, yeah, there's no nursing staff.
And then what happens.
Doubling up on patients and tripling up.
If somebody comes in from out of state, they give them an instantaneous nursing license, which is great. And then the hospital will pay them, you know, 1.5, 2.5 times.
A surgeon's wage. Same as a surgeon wage.
Well, that's not true.
Travel nurses, some of them are making what a hospitalist and a surgeon
makes.
Yes.
And so why would you stay in your regular job when the person that knows nothing about your hospital that you're working a shift with is making 2 or 3 times as much money as you? Why wouldn't you just go and be a travel nurse too?
Yeah.
Right?
Can't argue with that.
And so people leave. They're like, I'm burnt out. I'm done. I'll take a break. I won't let my license expire. And then I'll go travel around and do that for a while. I mean, like, all the people from the vaccine that got fired left you with nothing to say.
Imagine that.
No, they're gone. Like the vaccine people are long gone. And a lot of this is not, from what I hear from nursing staff, this isn't the vaccine that caused all the shortages. I mean, that part's already happened. But what happened was, I mean, it might be a part of the shortages, but what the real issue is, they burned out their staff and they're like, F you, I'm done.
I think it's a combination of both. Okay. Next point.
Omicron spreads faster. So Robert Malone, when he was on Jerry a couple weeks ago, he talked about Omicron having an R-naught of 10. Okay. So an R-naught is what virologists use to communicate how contagious a virus is. So for instance, if something has an R-naught of 2, that means for every single infected person, they're going to infect 2 other people, okay? If it has an R-naught of 5, for every individual infected, they're going to infect 5. So an R-naught of 10 is insane. That's like measles. That's like pinning the needle mm-hmm. off the charts. So they thought that the Alpha variant was 2 or 3, and they thought that Delta was maybe 4 or 5. So this is super, super spready, like spreads.
Yeah, didn't they figure come up with that number out of China when it? I'm just asking. I can't remember where they came.
Well, no, because there's not a lot of data. There's not a lot of data. I don't know. I can't remember
what he said. So I'm probably wrong.
But the narrative is now changing because even Fauci last week said we're all going to get it. I mean, he's like, just don't be surprised if everyone gets it, but still get vaccinated because it will reduce the intensity of the symptoms. And I'm sitting there going, okay.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
If it's a frickin' cold, then chicken soup, garlic cloves, eye of newt, a rattle, a Ouija board are all equally effective in reducing the intensity of symptoms.
Now, it's not a cold in everybody. It's not a cold in everybody.
Yeah, but you know what? Parainfluenza, that's a cold in damn near everybody's not a cold in everybody.
Correct. But you, I mean, let's just say that because I don't want people to hate on us and get the wrong idea that Dr. Tim said Omicron is just going to be a cold because in the majority of people, it is like a severe cold. But there's always the exceptions, people that are more susceptible to severe illness, immunocompromised, frail, elderly. I mean, right. it's just the same with other illnesses. But I'm just saying.
Right. But it's fascinating.
We got to cover our bases.
That Fauci's solution, when it's clearly obvious. And he even said that the effectiveness of the vaccine against Omicron is not great. Okay. So, but the solution is still to get vaccinated. Like honestly, like it is just mind numbing to see this because so get vaccinated because you might have less severe Omicron. And that actually may be true. Getting a booster may actually, if you get Omicron, may actually reduce the symptoms. But for the vast majority of people, it doesn't matter because the symptoms aren't going to be that bad and the severity of illness is not going to be that bad. But that's the point.
And I might add, you're never letting your own immune system get a chance to do its work.
But that's where we're going to get into something else, which I think is really potentially scary. Well, we could do that right now.
Well,
so when you talk about spread,
are you going to go? So you were talking about stay on task with your point. So Omicron is got the R naught of 10. It's way more contagious.
Right.
Less symptomatic in most people is the trend from all the data around the world that we're seeing.
Right.
And therefore, where are we going with that, though?
Okay. Therefore, Omicron is a freaking gift from God because it spreads super fast, which means you're going to get tons of people infected and get it over with quick. Mm-hmm. And it's way less dangerous, which means you're not going to kill a bunch of people.
What we were trying to get in the first place called right. herd immunity.
Yeah, there's a name for that. There's a name for something that spreads really, really quickly, has really low risk, and sterilizes for the virus. Do you know what that's called? That's called an effective vaccine.
Yeah.
And so the guy that I like, that I've been following at least a little bit, that I tend to trust because he predicted all of this stuff back before the vaccines were even released, is Gert Vandenbosch. Okay, Gert Vandenbosch is got a gazillion degrees. He's he was trained in veterinary medicine.
He's a virologist.
He's a vaccinologist.
He's a vaccinologist.
And he was actually
in veterinary medicine. And why do you like that?
Because
you were telling me earlier.
Well, because veterinary medicine and vaccines is a very huge deal because you're dealing with commercial herds, right? So it's really important that you don't give a vaccine to your cows and wipe out a guy's entire, or you wipe out the entire cow population in the entire world. That would be bad. Okay. So vegans rejoice. So it's just like,
there you go. Maybe right. that they could use that as a bioweapon.
No, so
vegans could use that as a bioweapon.
So these guys are really adept at, you know, especially veterinary vaccinologists are really super adept at looking out at how a vaccine is going to affect like all these different mammalian species when you vaccinate them.
The herd.
Because, you know, animals, you want your animals to be super healthy. You want them to cost you very little to maintain their health so that you can kill them at the appropriate time and make money off of selling their meat, right? And so, and Gert, you know, so he's really become, you know, one of the authorities, in my opinion, as far as vaccinology. And he was actually employed by the Bill and Melinda Gates Global Initiative as kind of their head science-y vaccine guy. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he's some right-wing nut job from from the Netherlands with wooden shoes. It's like, you know, he's not even American. So I don't, you know, what are you, a right-wing nut job in frickin' Holland or wherever he's from, or Belgium?
Maybe he is.
So he was the guy that came out and said, you never vaccinate during a pandemic with a vaccine with a leaky vaccine. So that was his thing. He's like, if you do not have an absolutely sterilizing vaccine, it doesn't mean that vaccine is worthless. It means that you should not do mass, very important, every word's important, mass vaccination of the low risk during a pandemic. And the reason is it's going to push the evolutionary variants potentially to higher lethality.
That's where the argument comes in about amongst people that the variants are coming from the unvaccinated. And I'm just throwing it out right. there versus the variants come from.
Right. But that's like saying antibiotic resistance is coming from people that have never been on antibiotics.
I know. But like I'm just making that statement for people that in the back that still think that the variants come from people that aren't vaccinated.
Well, it doesn't mean that unvaccinated people can't produce a variant. But they're less likely to produce. They're much less likely to produce a dominant variant. And the reason is we have, what, 70%+ of people in the United States vaccinated. You know, most of Canada is like 80% vaccinated. So what variants are going to be spread around? Okay, if the vaccine's sterilizing and some unvaccinated hillbilly living in a van gets a variant, the variant just either dies with him or he infects a couple other people, and then it bumps into the massive population that's vaccinated, and it goes away because the vaccine sterilizes.
Yeah, as I say, it has no reason to mutate or change.
Right. And so what happens is, you know, undoubtedly Omicron is a vaccine escape variant. So it's escaped the vaccine.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason it escaped the vaccine is because it could survive in the presence of the vaccine, which unfortunately is not a sterilizing vaccine. Right. So Omicron, I envision, it looks like a bunch of little tiny Freddie Mercurys in like tight leather red pants. And they're all running around. Don't stop me now. I'm getting around the vaccine. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
I love
Don't
it.
Don't stop me now. I'm Omicron. Until
it's,
I get
it's
AIDS.
Not and then that was to bad. The bone.
Yeah. No, that George was Thorogood. That was Delta. Delta was George Thorogood.
Yeah. I must say
Delta,
after
you had Delta.
Having had COVID, yeah. I had bad to the bone. Anyway.
Delta was Delta was bad to the bone. Was George Thorogood. Omicron is Freddie Mercury.
Uh-huh.
So here's what Geert says. Back to Geert. Okay. He wrote a really, really great letter to the WHO. Not the WHO, like Roger Daltrey, to the World Health Organization. He said, absolutely 100% do not vaccinate against Omicron because Omicron is a gift. And actually, Omicron may be a gift from the vaccine. The vaccine may have pushed the variants, and luckily it pushed a variant that was super contagious and not very dangerous. And if that's the case...
So a regression towards the mean. In
right,
other words.
Regression towards the mean. Mm-hmm. And regression to and Mueller's ratchet,
yep.
Way more contagious, way less dangerous. So the vaccine may have succeeded in spite of itself in that regard. You can make that argument.
Okay.
But this is what he says. It is important to realize that, in fact, Omicron is more or less serving indeed as a live attenuated vaccine. And that is a unique opportunity. The fact that we free up the sterilizing capacity in the in the people vaccinated, thanks to the increased level of resistance of Omicron to vaccine-associated antibodies, those are no longer capable of outcompeting the innate antibodies, the antibodies your body makes. We may have a unique opportunity to achieve herd immunity or to start building herd immunity. And so... it is very, very important that we leave people alone and that we leave the children alone and that we let the virus spread. And so we shouldn't have any vaccination against this Omicron variant and we shouldn't have lockdowns. Okay? Now, you sound like a heretic, like you're going to, you know, burn people at the stake when you say let it spread. But the fact is, we don't have a sterilizing vaccine. If we had a sterilizing vaccine, we would be done now. It would be done. It would be over, okay? But we don't have a sterilizing vaccine. And Geert goes on in that letter to the WHO. And he says he's concerned that if we continue vaccinating with this old vaccine, we're going to push to more variants and potentially more lethal ones when we had an opportunity to just all take a chill pill, go to a concert, pass a beer around, all get Omicron, and just be done.
So that's where my question comes in, is there any a guarantee that it's going to be done? Because, as we know, viruses can continue to mutate. I mean, the flu does. So there's, and I know from reading some articles from some of our esteemed colleagues, that, I mean, there's no guarantee. Right, there's no guarantee that it won't mutate again into a more virulent severe strain.
But that would mean that Omicron has no sterilizing immunity, which has not been the case in the other variants. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Like even Delta was largely impervious to people that had had the alpha variant.
Correct.
Okay. So the only variant that's been able to penetrate natural immunity is Omicron. So, yes, you have to make the assumption that Omicron has at least fairly robust right. sterilizing immunity. Yes. And if it does, we're done.
If it does, yes.
And if we're not, if not, we're never going to be done with right. that
and
argument.
So, I've gotten texts from friends and questions because some have gone and gotten the booster thinking, well, this is hopefully going to protect me, and they have various reasons. But I think the thing that I try to tell people is, especially with repeated boosters, and not even getting into the whole thing of, well, this booster is not even targeted against Omicron, as much as if you don't allow yourself to build immunity, T B cell immunity, I'm trying to, this might be oversimplistic, but it's almost like I tell people, you know, if you're constipated and you can't get your colon to do its thing on its own, you're trying to help it out. I mean, you start taking laxative, it's great in the short term. But in the long term,
stimulant laxatives. You have to tell
yes,
the difference. Not
stimulant laxatives. It trains your colon and it doesn't have to work. Same with, you know, people using their little
Afrin
and nasal spray.
Are you telling me X-Lax is colonic welfare?
It is. Yes, just like your welfare cheese. Afrin nasal spray, you know, it's okay for a couple of hits, but you use that stuff over and over. People know that you get dependent on it because your body does, your nose gets, I mean, it just can't open up and clear itself. And so the thing is with the concern with these repeated boosters is that your innate immunity, your T B cell immunity is just going to go on permanent leave and not say, we don't need to do anything anymore against this type of virus. And I heard Dr. Malone said it eloquently on JRE. That's how what we do with allergy shots. We're giving antigen to people and we're training the immune system to stop making a response over time. And I'm wondering with repeated boosters, if that's not what's going to happen.
I'm a big fan of repeated boostiers. I am absolutely recommending against the booster. It just doesn't make sense. It's a leaky vaccine. I mean, the reason you get boosters for hepatitis B and all that.
Absolutely. There's boosters that work that are better, that are because they are not.
Well, and the thing is,
because they're a sterilizing vaccine, they shut everything off.
Right. But Fauci comes out and he starts ranting and raving about, you know, you have to have a randomized controlled trial. There's no randomized controlled trial for the boosters.
No.
There's no control group that got boosted and another group that didn't get boosted. They looked at the fact that if you get another exposure to the vaccine, you get more antibodies. And they were like, okay, we're 100% all in on the antibodies, ignoring T cell immunity, ignoring B cell immunity, antibodies only. Boost, 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 boost. Okay. Then they look at anecdotal, and then they look at retrospective information where, yes, somebody boosted for the first two months or so after the booster. Those people seem to get, you know, they look at a retrospective analysis of that and go, they seem to get less sick and in the hospital.
Oh, and what's happening, like we talked about last week in Israel, where there are some people are on the fourth.
On the fourth
booster.
Like it's never ending.
And they're still getting infected.
Right, and they're still getting infected. Yeah. And there's, if you look at the granular data out of Israel and the granular data out of the UK has very good data. They just published it.
But, you know, the excuse always is still reduce severity, reduce hospitalizations.
But that's the only thing they have.
Yeah.
But you look at it, you look at the UK data, and it suggests that the vaccine has negative efficacy.
Mm-hmm.
That
which we're not getting into today. Which
the vaccinated people get Omicron faster, which actually might be a good thing.
Yeah.
It might be a good thing, as Bernie Sanders would say.
So we're not going down that rabbit hole today. But having put all this out there, why do you get to your conclusion that the pandemic is over?
Because COVID has now become an endemic virus. And so unless you're gonna completely chase your tail for stuff like this, you just got to let the fire burn itself out. And that might not be acceptable to people. And I get it. Okay. I think that
we have to realize what you're saying is true, that it's here to stay. It's not going away. And the lockdowns and the implications have to stop. I mean, the school closure, I mean, they're starting to close things down again here.
No, no.
The point is, why? I'm like, why?
No, because it's political. It's not science.
It's because there's no teachers because they're all sick this week with COVID. No, I don't understand it. We can't lock down the world because of a, right now, what's becoming a cold virus.
Because of the sniffles. No. And that was my last point. The mitigation strategies have failed. They failed in Alpha.
Did we ever lock down with other things passing through? I mean, I guess I'm trying to think. I remember recently when measles hit Disneyland and they freaked out. And then,
if measles hits Disneyland, you got to absolutely freak the hell out.
And then the meningitis scares, you know, locally at the university. But.
Yeah, but they don't close Jack in the Box and Burger King because some kid gets meningitis in a dorm.
No,
they lose their shit and go to the dorm and do a mitigation strategy there. And they sure as shit don't make, you know, grandma in a nursing home 50 miles away wear a mask.
Right.
Like, I mean.
So, absolutely, there's things we can do, targeted approaches, assuming that we're going to have to live with this virus throughout the world in society. To get back to normal.
Yeah, but there's countries that where there may be a horrific day of reckoning.
Well, if you look at
Australia and Canada,
they're screwed.
Where they've gone,
they've
you
just
know,
locked down.
Where they have locked down and they have depended 100% on a vaccine. And then the worse it gets and the more obvious the vaccine has failed, the more they vaccinate. Like literally, it is like the end of Scarface, okay? When the only solution to his life is to snort more coke and to shoot more people with his machine gun. Like, it becomes so delusionally insane. It's like, Djokovic lost his appeal. They're kicking him out of Australia because he's not vaccinated. And their reason wasn't that he's a danger, okay? Because they know he's not. He can isolate and all that. Mm-hmm. It's because he's going to create vaccine hesitancy in Australia. Well, how about this? How about looking all over the world and reading and realizing that there's been way more cases in 2021 with the vaccine than in 2020 without the vaccine?
And how about
looking at the fact that there's been more hospitalizations and deaths in 2021 than in 2020? Okay, so the vaccine has not changed spread transmission one single freaking bit. So how can you mandate something that only protects me? Okay? The vaccine protects me. It doesn't protect me spreading it. That's painfully obvious through tons of data.
Yes. I mean, there's still so people how do that you say that it's to prevent the spread, but we all know, I mean, it should
well,
be
it
pretty
doesn't.
Obvious
Like,
now.
It's obvious. Like, you don't need a scientific study. You need freaking common sense. I mean, we've worked in a COVID clinic. You know, and I did specifically for the whole thing, the entire thing I did, okay? And there was weeks when we'd have no cases, and we'd wear all the PPE and N95 masks and, you know, ribbed condoms and God knows what other BS, and you would never see a case. And if you saw a case, everyone lost it wasn't ribbed. It had spike protein on it. So it's the same thing. So everyone would lose their minds, right? You know, and now, okay, private clinic doing monoclonal antibodies, et cetera, et cetera. How many COVID patients do we see a day? Like 20, 30? Like, it's 2/3 of our business. Easily 2/3. It's everybody. Like, everyone's going to get this. Fauci's right. Everyone's going to get this. It's like, it is totally unusual when I see somebody that's never had it.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I mean, you look to your left and you look to your right, and everybody knows somebody.
So it's time to get pissed.
Had it,
right.
And actually, I can't. It's hard to find people that haven't had it.
No. So now it's like, okay, so all that bullshit that you did in 2020 and 21, all the businesses that you closed, all the stupid ass masking, all the mandatory vaccination, all the VAERS related deaths and injuries, like, thanks. Thanks, because you know what it did? Not a damn thing. Okay? Did the vaccine save some lives? Absolutely. You're an idiot to say that it didn't. Was it worth vaccinating every single person in your population, shutting your society down, and all of this other kind of crap? Of course not. And that's the point. You know, we get dinged. You know, people, you know, we're right-wing nut jobs and we're anti-vax. I'm not anti-vax. Yeah, the vaccine should have been.
Yeah, that terminology has got to stop. Can't somebody stand up and say they're offended by the use of that word? Because anti-vaccine, I mean, it's just blanket targets.
I guarantee
vaccines.
You, with my world travel, I've got more effing vaccines than virtually anyone alive.
I know.
And so it's deeply offensive, and you're a communist, so screw you. But here's the problem. Here's the thing. The vaccine should have been developed, and I think mRNA technology is fascinating and may end up being unbelievably life-saving. It may be a cancer vaccine. God only knows. It's really cool technology.
Yeah,
and you can go back.
Coming out with new. I just saw it. I told you some new experimental tech on MS treatment using mRNA. Could be a great thing.
No, you can go.
We're not opposed to this at all.
You can go back and listen to my previous podcast where I said, this is awesome. We're going to get herd immunity. And you know, I wrote letters back to people that were asking me, you know, messaging us. And I said, the fastest way to end the pandemic is herd immunity. The fastest way to herd immunity is the vaccine. The vaccine hasn't caused herd immunity. If it doesn't cause herd immunity, in other words, if it doesn't stop transmission, it can't end a gosh darn thing. It's impossible. It has to stop transmission. And now obvious.
That's a combination, right? It's your masks, your lockdowns, your living in an apartment and never come out.
So it's obvious that it's not going to stop transmission. Yeah. That's painfully obvious. So it won't end the pandemic, okay? Like it won't.
Right. I mean, the combination of masks, lockdowns, and vaccine haven't ended the pandemic.
No, it's made it longer. Yes. It's made it last longer.
So let's put that out there, because people will say it needs to be the combination of all those mitigation strategies that they've used, and we say wrong strategy.
No, because then look at Sweden. They did none of those.
Yeah.
And you look, I looked at Sweden's numbers like, you know, a few days ago, and they're like, the cases were totally flat, mm-hmm. and then Omicron hit, and yep. it is literally a vertical line. Like, it's damn near a singularity.
They're all getting infected with the cold.
So they're all getting Omicron now. Yeah. But, you know, they didn't have way, 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 way more deaths than their neighboring country, than their neighboring, you know, countries like mm-hmm. Denmark and so forth. And they didn't, you know, like, it just, the virus is going to do whatever the hell it wants to do, this kind of virus, okay? You know? There's other viruses like Ebola that are spread by blood and body fluids. And if you don't get blood and body fluids on you, you're not going to get it. But this kind of virus, an aerosolized respiratory virus, unfortunately just has to burn its way through, you know, the world. And then it's done. And then, okay, zippity-doo-dah. It's like damn near everything that's been done has been done backwards. And now we have a gift. I really believe this. I believe what Vandenbosch says. We have this gift, and it may have been a gift that was pushed by the vaccines in spite of themselves. We have this gift to humanity, which is Omicron. We have to let it do its thing. We have to still treat people with compassion. We still have to treat people. There's definitely some monoclonal antibodies that work really well for Omicron. So you get a sick, you know, 82-year-old that's obviously ill. It's probably Omicron, but he's positive for COVID. You treat him with what you got. And you move on from there. And that's the point. The vaccines have saved people's lives because, especially early on, you know, frail, elderly, people with tons of medical conditions, people with leukemia and so forth, you know, they get the vaccine.
Did you just say that?
What?
You just said that vaccines have saved people's
There's no
lives.
Question they've saved lives.
I'm just having you repeat it for the
people. But here's
there.
The thing. At an individual level, like just me, myself. I mean, I don't know. I got COVID 7-8 months after I got vaccinated. Did the vaccine make it less severe? Maybe. Did it save my life? It could have. I mean, who knows, right? Like, you don't know.
You don't know.
But the fact is that two things I believe are true at the same time. The vaccines rolled out to the right people, nursing homes, people that work at nursing homes, et cetera, perfect place for it. Do that. Do only that. Mass vaccination of the entire world of people that are at very low risk pushes variants, prolongs your pandemic. I don't think there's any question of that. That's the thing. Two things can be true at the, you know, antibiotics are great. Too many antibiotics are bad. They bring, you know, antibiotic resistance, screwed up gut microbiome, as we discussed with Dr. Hazen. On and on and on. We're done. Plus, the population is freaking sick of this. No one's going to tolerate it. They played the game. The game didn't work. And so, tap out.
I love it. All right. You're done.
Tickets. Still drinking freaking coffee.
I think you had too much coffee, but I let off the break at the end.
They liked me. They liked me on liquor, and now it's like, holy cow, coffee is kind of that's not.
Give him a Snickers bar, and you should see what he's like. Oh, baby. Well, thanks again, Travis Luttmer from Country Financial, for these amazing cups, because they've kept our coffee nice and warm, and Tim's still drinking it, which is frightening me, and it should frighten you.
I'm going to be reading spy novels till 3:30 in the morning.
So reach out to us with your questions, as always. And another little, if you're still listening, you're a fan. So please do us a favor. I've messaged some of our super fans and our friends, but it would really be great if you have never rated and wrote a little comment on whatever listening platform, whether it's probably the Apple iTunes or Spotify are the top ones, but whatever you're listening to, it really does make a difference. So that's our one request. If you're listening to this for free, then all you can do for us to pay us back would be to just write a really nice short 1 to 2 sentence review, give us some stars, and that really helps us rise in the rankings. Other people find the show, but know that, you know, you're liking it, and it really helps just get the word out more. So it takes less than 5 minutes. If you can't figure out how to do it, message me. I prefer Facebook or Instagram, but you can email us as well, and we will help walk you through it. So that would mean a lot.
Yeah, and it does help. The comments help too, because that really pushes the algorithm, and we're fighting the algorithm.
You know, you hear it all the time from your favorite podcaster, just rank us and rate us, but it really does make a difference. And so that's my ask to my listeners. Other than that, we will see you next time.
It's no secret that medicine is a bit uptight. That's why Tim and I created BS Free MD. To mix things up a little and have fun in the process. Besides, we are having these exact same discussions all the time, so we thought we might as well invite everyone to the party. If you really like us, you can get plenty more and maybe see one of Tim's cool tattoos on our Instagram or Facebook pages at BS4MD. See you next time.
While we try to keep BS Free MD as raw and real as possible, we can't be held responsible for any medical decisions or discussions had as a result of what you've heard on the show. We know, bummer. But the truth is, we really do care about your questions. So feel free to reach out to us by email at doc@bsfreemd.com.
Free flow, there's actually women that have...
Oh, geez, don't even go there.
Free flow.
Okay.
Actually, if I was on my menses, I don't think that would be a freeing thing to not have some sort of receptacle to capture said endometrium. That would not be freeing.
I reserve the right to not comment.
Free flow. Yeah.
I reserve the right to not comment. At this time,
I would not free flow. I wouldn't want to do that. That would be bad.
You're not sucking me into this conversation for you into and Nathan to laugh at.
Free flow conversation. Guys, okay. Doesn't sound free to me.
Not in the mood for silliness.